afternoon. We're going to go ahead and gavel in to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. It's Tuesday, February 5th, and it is 1:34 p.m. And present with me are Vice Chair Senator Costello, and then we've got Senator Gray Jackson, and then to my left, Senator Bishop, and also Senator Birch. So thank you all for being here today. As you all know, Chair Reinbold, and I just wanted to make sure you guys know that you need to disable your cell phones. So we like to make that announcement at the beginning because it can interfere with the recording of the wonderful recording secretary that we have with us. And we are lucky to have somebody with immense experience, Nancy Hemingway. And we also have Eileen with us today. So Eileen, thank you for being here. She's the moderator today. And then my aide, Natasha, who is trying to make sure the room is quiet so everybody can hear. And she does the preparation, and which is greatly appreciated for this meeting. So today we have a pretty busy meeting. First of all, we're going to have Senator McChicky and his staff present SB 16. So welcome to our committee. Thank you very much for being here. We're looking forward to your bill. And this is an act regarding alcohol beverage licenses and permits and relating to the bond requirement for certain alcohol beverages and license holders. Many of them are calling it the state fair bill, but we will get into the details of that soon. We plan on taking public testimony on this bill today. We will leave it open, and we are planning on holding the bill over because there's so much interest in this right now. So we will have Erica McConnell, the director of the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Board, and as well as Jerome Hertel, the general manager of the Alaska State Fair. After that, we are going to take the consideration of the governor's appointees. And there's three of them that we're going to take up today, one with the labor relations, one with the State Board of Public Accountancy, and also the Board of Certified Direct Midwives. But we do have to take at 2:15. There is somebody that is on a very tight time frame at 2:15. So we are going to take a break and do one of the board appointees at that time at 2:15, just so everybody knows. We just wanted to let everybody know. We'll take a quick time right there to deal with because of the time constraints in regards to that. So with that, we're going to go ahead and invite Senator McChicky, and then you can please, obviously, you know the routine. Introduce you and your staff. Oh, 1 second. Yes.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill number 16LS0283/alpha before the committee as the working document.
Go ahead. I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Okay, excellent. Okay, so with that, we have Senate Bill 16, version 31 LS0283, version A before us. Please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Reinbold, members of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. I'm Peter McChicky, Senator Peter McChicky, representing Senate District O. And I'm here to talk about Senate Bill 16, which we call the Save the Alaska State Fair Act. I want to clarify that is my priority on this bill, is getting that portion of the bill passed so that the fair can operate normally this summer or this fall. Senate Bill 16 is part of my ongoing effort on the Title IV alcoholic beverages rewrite. However, there are some issues that are more pressing that need to be taken care of sooner rather than later as we head into the summer and fall. This bill adds two new license and one new permit types. The two new licenses are for fairs and performing arts centers. The new permit type is for concerts. As you may have heard in the news and from concerned constituents recently, the AMCO office has recommended denying the Alaska State Fair its recreational site license, as it is no longer interpreting that it meets the definition for this license type. Per recent legislative audits, Section 2 of the bill adds a new license type to remedy this situation. Secondly, Senate Bill 16 adds a new license type for performing arts theaters, which had previously been in regulation. The main changes to this license type include an increase in biennial fees from $800 to $1,250 biennially. It allows the sale and service of alcohol in the multiple non-contiguous locations at a specific performing arts theater site, including in the audience viewing area, and it extends hours of serving, selling alcoholic beverages to 2 hours before the event and 1 hour after. Third, the bill adds a concert permit. This would allow the holder of a recreational site license to sell beer and wine on the licensed premises during a period beginning 1 hour before until the end of the concert or similar event. And finally, the bill adds a new fair license to the population limitations under AS 0411400, and also provides for an exemption from the bonding requirements under Title 43 as to reward taxpayers that have timely filed and paid their monthly taxes for three consecutive years. My staff member, Edra Morledge, can walk members through a sectional analysis if you'd like. I just, quick note, there is a fiscal note from DCCED of $2,500 on this bill. We're talking to them since notices can now be printed online like we've done with other bills. And I very much appreciate you hearing this bill today, Madam Chair.
For the record, Edra Morledge, if you'd like, I can go through the sectional analysis. Okay. So, Section 1 amends AS 041100, types of licenses and permits, to add performing arts theater license, a fair license, and a concert permit. Section 2 adds a new section to AS 041205, which is the performing arts theater license. This section defines this type of license, the biennial fee for the license, and the circumstances for issuance and compliance. Section 3 adds a new section covering the fair license. This section defines the type of license, the biennial fee, and the circumstances in issuance and compliance. Section 4 adds a new section covering the concert permit. And again, this section defines the type of license, the biennial fee, or the fee per performance, and the circumstances for the issuance and compliance of the permit. Section 5 amends AS 041100 to specify that a new license may not be issued and the board may prohibit relocation of an existing license in accordance with population limits that already exist. What this section does is it allows for one fair license per borough in the state. Section 6 establishes under AS 041100 that only one fair license may be issued per borough, as I just mentioned. So sections 5 and 6 deal with the population limits. Section 7 adds the new licenses and permit to the list of those required to post notice on the designated premises. And Section 8 adds language to AS 4360.040, the administration and enforcement of tax. Section 9 adds language regarding the previous Section I, which is being added to Title 43, administration and enforcement of tax. And Section 10 is the section that rewards a taxpayer for timely filing and payment of taxes for the most recent 3 years. It removes their bonding requirement if they've met that threshold. And that's the sectional analysis.
Senator Bikchuki, is there anything you'd like to add before we open public testimony?
No, just kind of a big picture consideration, Madam Chair, if I may. If you think about the cultural importance, the recreational importance, and the importance to the agriculture industry in our state, fairs are extremely important. Alcohol sales at the Alaska State Fair make those other activities possible because they help fund the remainder of the fair. I think this is an important bill. I appreciate you hearing it, and I'm available for questions if there are any.
Okay, so with that, wherever you're comfortable, you can either stay sitting there, or you can have a seat, you know, behind you, wherever you're comfortable. We're going to go ahead and open public testimony. I am going to clarify that Chris Curtis, you're here for questions, is that correct? Okay, so we have the amazing Division of Ledge Audit, Chris Curtis, I think she's amazing. Anyway, we have her in the audience with us today. Erica McConnell, are you online for questions, Erica?
Madam Chair, this is Erica McConnell. I am online.
Excellent. Okay, if we get to questions, good to know because that you're available. So we're going to go ahead and I'm going to start. I'm going to go ahead and open public testimony right now. It looks like first we have Bob Klein of Anchorage. Bob, are you available?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Bob Klein, and I didn't list what I represent because I have a number of hats in this situation. I am currently chair of the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. I am also treasurer and board member of the Alaska Center for the Performing Arts, and of course, I'm a license holder. When we worked on Title IV, and Senator Machicki's been great on helping us to revise the areas of Title IV which don't fit, the one that constantly gave us problems was rec site license, recreational site license. And SB 16 is just a breath of fresh air. It takes and takes these three license types and gives clarity, where before we were trying to shoehorn it into a definition which was geared to things like hockey games and baseball games. We now have and can look at licensing these three terrific activities. As far as the fair license describes what has been going on and gives us the latitude to be able to control what goes on in the future. Same with the concert permit. And the Performing Arts Center license is one that existed, as Senator Machicki mentioned, only in regulation. And this allows us to do what just about every Performing Arts Center in the country is currently doing, and that is to, under circumstances that's described, to bring alcohol into the theaters. We're looking forward to it, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. We appreciate your testimony today. We're going to move on to Kenai now. Lara McGinnis, are you online?
Yes. Yes, Laura McGinnis, and I should thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Machicki so much for making this happen. I should clarify that I am a member of the Alaska State Fair Board, but I am also the past fair manager for the Kenai Peninsula Fair in Nanulchik, Alaska. And as such, I really urge the importance of this liquor license, not just for clarifications, but for control. As the fair manager in Nanulchik, we tried going dry. We tried going with alcohol, without alcohol. And when we tried to go dry, that encouraged all of our patrons to try and sneak the alcohol in, which created a scenario where we had no control. And on a smaller scale, that was problematic enough that we brought the liquor back on. For the Alaska State Fair, that would be horrendous. That's the last thing we want to have happen here. We need to be able to offer it legally and responsibly and have it served by people that know what they're doing and are their consequences for their actions if they don't do it properly. So I really, this is an important bill, and the sooner we can get this resolved, the better. It's taking a lot of resources for the Alaska State Fair away from projects that we need to be doing for our kids, to focus on something that we just need to get taken care of. So I thank you all for making this a priority.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your testimony, and good luck with the fair this year. Next, we are going to go to Jim Varso. So, and he's from Wasilla. Jim, are you online? And I hope you say your name properly if I've messed that up.
I am, Madam Chair. Thank you for letting me testify, but I think most of you will know my name better as Hobo Jim. Mm-hmm. And I've been a performer at the Alaska State Fair for 37 years. I've also performed at the Nanulchik Fair when it was Peninsula Fair, when it was dry and when it was wet. And I just want to say, fairs can't, they can't afford the entertainment that the Alaska State Fair has been able to bring to you. I mean, myself included, but the big name acts too. They can't afford it with the alcohol sales. There's many things they can't afford without the alcohol sales. And over the 37 years of working at the sluice box and other places around the fair, I've seen nothing but a high level of professionalism in the people that serve the alcohol. In fact, I think it's controlled far better than most bars in the state of Alaska. And I hope people realize how critical alcohol sales are to major events. And I don't know if any fair in the United States or any annual event that's denied a liquor license. And frankly, I'm a little bit flabbergasted how we ended up this way. Anyway, I'm in total support of the bill and to protect the fair for their alcohol sales. And I appreciate you letting me testify.
Hobo Jim, thank you so much. You're a really, really important part of that fair. So we really appreciate you taking time today to call in. Next, we're going to go ahead and move in the room here, and I apologize if I say your name wrong. Jerome Hintel? Oh, okay. Sorry. It's plugged in here wrong. Please come ahead and put your name on the record.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jerome Hertel, the manager for the Alaska State Fair. And thank you for giving me the opportunity today to come to testify in support of Senate Bill 16, a bill that creates a license category for the Alaska State Fair that would not be subject to misinterpretation or inconsistencies in enforcement, a bill that better defines the business model of the Alaska State Fair, just as the bill is written. For an organization that's been serving Alaska and its people for the last 80-plus years through education and youth development, through 4-H and FFA activities, by organizing the largest school field trip in the state, we spend over $200,000 in educational opportunities at the Alaska State Fair. As a resource for nonprofit fundraisers, we are a nonprofit fundraisers for Rotaries, Lions Clubs, the Farmland Trust, for the 4-H auction in the state. We generated over $222,000 at the 4-H auction this past year. By boosting the economy each year in the state of Alaska by $23 million. By creating over 2,000 jobs during the 12-day run of the fair, by the payment of taxes at the Alaska State Fair that generates just the Alaska State Fair generates over $100,000 in taxes from beverage sales alone. But all this stuff comes at a cost, and of course, the revenues from alcohol sales are a big part of that, offsetting those costs. This bill is a solution to a problematic situation that we've encountered with the AMCO administrations, the new AMCO administrations over the years. And that is, does the Alaska State Fair meet the qualifications of a recreational site license that we operate under? For the past 37 years, the answer has been yes. We have responsibly served alcohol at the Alaska State Fair for the past 37 plus years. This bill will allow us to continue that operation at the Alaska State Fair. And like I said, while it's not the main revenue source for the fair, it is a very important part of the revenue source for the Alaska State Fair. The Alaska State Fair is a lot like farming. We can have a bad year, we can have a downturn in a year. Its revenue sources like the alcohol sales that push us into the next year, into planning for the next fair, that allow us to operate even when we do have an off year from weather conditions or whatnot. So I encourage the support and hope you support this bill, Senate Bill 16. It is will create a new license category for the Alaska State Fair, one that's been questionable whether or not we meet the qualifications, and will allow us the ability to serve over 45,000 people on any given day of the Alaska State Fair. So thank you for allowing me to be here, and I would be more than happy to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
So if you could stay there, that would be great, because I actually am going to give you an opportunity to ask anybody in the room or online a question. But first of all, I'm going to take a question from my vice chair, Senator Casello.
Thank you. So I understand that if this bill were not to pass, that the ticket prices would be affected, and I was just hoping you could tell us what the ticket prices are, you know, what they were last year, and then what this would do to the ticket prices for entrance to the fair.
Past ticket prices at the Alaska State Fair have been have ranged anywhere from $10 to $15, depending on the day and the different promotion that's taking place at any time period during the fair. To say that ticket prices would be affected, I couldn't not say for sure that they would be. There's always that possibility. Revenues generated from alcohol sales are approximately 20% of our budget. That's a pretty large percentage of your budget to lose and still be able to operate. We take a lot of pride in keeping prices as low as we possibly can so that the fair is appealing and can entertain and bring people from all socioeconomic conditions and salaries, that just so that the average Alaskan can enjoy the fair. So to say we would for sure increase prices, I wouldn't say that's entirely accurate, but it would have a devastating effect on our ability to move forward in a year where we experienced some downturn in the economy, or we had bad weather conditions, or just in our preparations for the fair next year. A lot of our revenue is generated during the 12-day run of the fair. We use that revenue to offset our costs throughout the entire year. Now we are, we do have 70 plus other off-season events that are becoming more and more an important part of our revenue stream and helping us to offset those costs. But it definitely would have a dramatic effect on our revenues.
So I'm going to just actually put you on the spot a little bit. This bill obviously is in front of us for a reason. Is there anybody that you would like to ask a question to in regards to why or explain why this bill is so necessary? Legislative Audit is in the room. We have Erica McConnell on the line. There's options available, and this is also for the people watching today because this is a very big interest. So if there's any, they like to know why this bill was necessary.
I guess if I did have to ask a question, it would be the director, Erica McConnell, and the ABC board. The fair is being singled out to prompt this legislation, but I do also have to applaud their efforts for bringing this to the attention of the legislature because it has been a problematic situation over the past years.
Erica, would you like to answer the question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, this is Erica McConnell, the Director of the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office. I believe that the committee has been provided with both the 2014 and the 2017 legislative audits. And during both of those audits, the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board was called out for improperly issuing recreational site licenses to establishments that did not meet the statutory requirements for such a license. And a number of examples were given, so I don't think the state fair should feel singled out, as there are a number of recreational site licenses that appear not to meet the statutory requirements and are being brought to the board for consideration. During my tenure, I have tried to address the issues that are raised in those audits and bring to the attention of the board those licenses that appear not to meet the requirements, and then it is up to the board to make a determination. The Alaska State Fair license has been determined to be problematic with regard to the recreational site license statute, and I have worked with Senator Michicki's office to suggest ideas for this legislation, as it's not the office's desire to see the state fair lose its ability to serve alcohol, but it is rather our office's desire to make sure that the statutes are being accurately and appropriately implemented. Thank you.
Thank you, Erica. Do you have any follow-up?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. The only comment that I would make is that in the 2014 and 2017 audits, the Alaska State Fair was never called out by name as one of the examples, as far as I know, as called out by name specifically as not meeting the requirements of the recreational site license.
Okay. Thank you. And is there, I'm going to ask Chris Curtis if there's anything that you wanted to add. She specifically pointed out. And you, if you want to stay there, you can stay there. It's up to you.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Chris Curtis, State Legislative Auditor. It is correct that the 2014 and 2017 audits did identify that the statute itself is very specific in what it identifies as what qualifies as a recreational site. It actually lists them out. Baseball games, car races, hockey games, dog sled racing events, and curling matches. So we tested 10 of 29 recreational site licenses that were active during that year, and we found all 10 did not qualify. The non-compliant entities were travel tour companies, bowling alleys, an art council, pool hall, and a movie theater and spa. So what you have before you doesn't address any of those entities. Reading the news stories, I do see that the fair has been included in that. It wasn't part of our sample, so we didn't actually look at it. Ski resorts, I've also read, that are been singled out as recreational site licenses and not complying with it. But it has to do with the specificity of the statute, which is unusual to actually put in writing what is going to qualify for something like this.
Thank you. Okay. We're going to go ahead and move to the next person. So you all can feel free to have a seat in the audience. I'm going to go ahead and move on to Matt Gill and Tony Bain of Ginger Restaurant in Anchorage.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. Yeah, we're here just to offer support and answer any questions from our end. We're the ones that actually are operating the concession contract for the Performing Arts Center, so it's definitely something we'd be interested in going forward as far as the theater license is concerned. And as the concessionaire and caterer, if there are any questions anyone would like to ask us, we are available to answer to the best of our ability. So just wanted to say thank you for your time and thank you for looking at this bill.
Excellent. Thank you. That's good to know. So we have a couple other people online to answer questions if we need to. So I'm going to go ahead and move to Jason Ortiz from Anchorage.
Hi, my name is Jason Ortiz. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to testify briefly. Just to remind everyone, the Alaska State Fair is a private nonprofit 501c3 corporation, and I'd wager that many of you probably have attended, you know, a fair at some point. And this past year, the fair was in a quandary with this alcohol licensing, and I'd just like to stress that the fair has an approximate $23 million positive fiscal impact on the state and the community. And it's one of the very few state fairs, if not one of the only fairs in the United States that's operated solely as a nonprofit that's not part of the state, meaning it doesn't get any funding from the state. And the fair, you know, has dozens of year-round staff working hard and events that run all year. The fair staff is extremely hardworking on this issue, and I know personally that they are exerting many hours of their time. This should be really a non-issue. And overall, I just would like to thank the legislature for their support of SB 16. And, you know, and I want to stress that the fair is and has been a responsible license holder, and they definitely need the support and backing on this bill.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Ortiz. We're going to go ahead and move on to Susie Crosby in Palmer.
Hi, my name is Susie Crosby, and thank you for the opportunity to testify. And I just wanted to state that I'm a member of the music community here in South Central Alaska. I also book the music at the Alaska State Fair, and as both a performer, a member of the performing community, and the person who kind of now makes sure that everybody else has a gig, I just have to say that the Sluice Box, honestly, it's the best bar in Alaska for 12 days. And it's a place where people gather to listen to fabulous music, and there's music around the grounds that my budget for booking that music is influenced by the revenue that comes from the music at the Sluice Box. And a fair without music would be a very sad state of affairs, so to speak. In researching fairs around the country, there's not a major fair anywhere in this country that doesn't allow its patrons to drink a beer or a glass of wine while they're listening to music or enjoying other forms of traditional fair entertainment. And I know that we wouldn't go under in the first year if we didn't have an alcohol license, but I've seen how fairs die across the country, and that is something chips away, and they start to diminish their what they offer the public, and then the public says, well, we don't want to go anymore, and then they raise their prices to try to make up the difference, and the public says, well, they're not giving us as much, and now they're charging us more, and so we won't go. And this is how fairs die. It takes a few years. And I just would see, if we lost our alcohol license, I would just see that as potentially being the first little stepping stone towards going down a very dark path for us. The revenues from those beverage sales are a major part of the budget that I get to work with, even to book the free music and the free other entertainment around the grounds. And I would fear for our fair in the long haul if we lost that license. So I would urge you to pass SB 16 so that we are clearly defined in our role as a recreational site. I think it's unarguable that people come to the fair for recreational purposes, and to include us in black and white in writing to protect us from, you know, any other attack down the road because we don't fit into a category. I would urge you to do that to protect the status of a fair that has been a traditional venue where people could drink a beer, listen to music, and enjoy all sorts of recreational entertainment.
Thank you, Susie Crosby. Thank you for your passionate testimony. We really appreciate you taking the time, and thanks for what you do. We're going to go ahead and move on to Eagle River. So there's three people online from the Performing Arts Center. We're going to start with Cody Costello from Eagle River. Cody, are you on?
Yeah, I'm not. Oh, hello. Sorry. I am here as an employee of the Performing Arts Center along with my colleagues Nancy Harbor, the president, COO, and Cindy Hamilton, vice president of event operations. This is Cody Costello, speaking. I'm vice president of strategic development and communications, and we're here to answer any questions that I see today along with our session speaker.
Okay, so Cody, yeah, if you can talk just a little louder into the mic, that would be helpful. But I believe what you said is you have Cody Costello, you also have Nancy Harbor and Cindy Hamilton, all with the Performing Arts Center, and I believe you stated what their what all of their positions were. But you have no testimony; you're just there to answer questions. Did I hear that correctly?
That is correct. We are here in support of the bill and to answer any questions that may come up.
Excellent. Okay, we really appreciate that. So I'm going to see if Karen Smith is online. Is Karen Smith online yet, or is she going to be calling in right at 2:15? Okay, right at 2:15. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and see if there's any more public testimony. We are keeping public testimony open, but I'm going to go ahead and move to the room right now. Is there anybody in the room that wants to testify on this bill at this time? Because we have to take a government appointee right at 2:15 today. Okay, so with that, it looks like we've got everybody online that is on right now. So I don't know, Senator McChickie or Edra, if you want to make any final comments today before we put this bill aside. Because we got about 5 minutes max.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We'll probably need a tiny fraction of that 5 minutes. I appreciate you hearing this bill today. And I think you heard, to be fair to the ABC board and Ms. McConnell, they've been working with us when I think they are trying to meet the intent of statutes. They have guided us in the creation of this bill, and I do think that it clarifies the ability for fairs to operate within the statutes in the sale of alcohol, which is incredibly important to fairs around the state, particularly the state fair.
Excellent. I'm going to see if there's any committee members that have any questions or comments at this time on this bill. Senator Costello.
Thank you, and Senator McChickie, I appreciate you bringing this before the committee because I see it as an important economic driver for the state, and part of what we all look forward to in the fall is taking our families to the state fair and the cotton candy and the rides and what have you. My question for you is, based on what we heard from the auditor, is there anything else that you feel should be added to this list so that we're not back here next session adding additional entities, and wanted to give you a chance to answer that?
Well, thank you for that question, Senator Costello. You know, the reason we dropped the bill, the priority is the state fair, but you are holding the bill for folks to come forward if there is a specific entity that has a licensing problem that wants to bring forward. We'd like to move it through, but they do have an opportunity to contact us, and I know there are some suggestions from the department. There's discussion about ski resorts. There are some other potential licensees that will likely come forward, but we want them to do that and expedite that request because, again, the priority is clear on the state fair.
Thank you.
Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to say that I think this is an important bill, and it's also necessary, so I want to thank Senator McChickie for bringing this forward, and I'm also pleased to see that performance arts theater and concert permits were added to this bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you for your comments. Okay, so with that, we will put this bill aside, and we will see you back. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Right, so I'm going to go ahead and she's not on the line, right? Correct. I'm going to go ahead. There's already two appointments. We're going to move into the next section of today's meeting today, which is three consideration of the governor's appointees. So I believe Wes Tegler is on the line, and Paula Harrison, and then we've got Karen Smith calling in, and then Kathy Mosier is online, I believe. So we're going to go ahead, since we have about 3 or 4 minutes, we're going to go ahead and first of all start with Paula Harrison. So if the committee members could have Paula Harrison. Paula, if you would go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us just a little bit about yourself and why you want this position, that would be terrific.
Hi, this is Paula Harrison. I'm calling in from Anchorage, and I have 35 years of experience in labor relations and human resources. So I feel like this would be a good fit for me to be on the Labor Relations Agency board. I work in the private sector now, but I've got experience in both public and private sectors. So that's it. Unless you have questions.
Excellent. Does anyone have any questions? Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This will take a minute, but I'm going to quote Alaska Statute 230503608, which basically says that two members have to have a background in management, two members have to have a background in labor, and two members from the general public. I also want to quote Alaska Statute 230503605F that says, for the purposes of holding hearings, the members of the board sit in panels of three members. Each panel must include a representative of management, a representative of labor, and a representative of the general public. The two terms that expire in March 2019, it's a public member and a labor representative, and the two management representatives don't expire until 2020 and 2021, which brings me to my question, Ms. Harrison. Which seat are you filling, public or labor?
Public.
Okay, and as I think you mentioned, it's my understanding that you are the HR director for NSTAR. and that you were previously the labor relations coordinator for UAA. Your LinkedIn profile also says that, as I think you mentioned, you have 34 years representing management and labor relation matters. You've also represented management in grievances and arbitrations, and one of the specialties that you list is negotiating union contracts on behalf of management. So with that said, don't you think you'd be more qualified to fill one of the two management seats that are open in 2020 and 21 as opposed to this seat? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Paula?
I think I'm well qualified to fill the public seat as well. I've seen both sides of the aisle, so coming from, I have a lot of experience in management. Obviously, you deal with both labor and management, regardless of which side of the aisle you're on, and both sides have to work together, just like if I were a public member. So,
if I may follow up, Madam Chair.
Follow up.
Thank you, Ms. Harrison. I appreciate your response, but I still feel, based on your resume, that you would be more qualified to fill one of the management positions. Thank you, Ms. Harrison. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. So Senator Birch has a question for you, Paula.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Not so much a question. I just wanted to thank you for your interest and what you bring to the table for this position, Paula. I think we need a lot of experience in these positions, and I think you have a lot to bring to the table. I look forward to working with you in the future, and appreciate your interest in this public service. Thank you.
And thank you for your comments. Is there any other questions or comments for Paula Harrison? Okay, now, because Karen Smith is not on the line yet, we're going to go ahead and move on. Thank you, Paula, for being here today. We really appreciate it. Thank you for holding through that bill hearing as well. We also have Wes, Teagler, if you could actually say your name, from Wasilla, that would be really great. He's also with he's with the State Board of Public Accountancy, and that's who we're waiting for Karen Smith to be calling in any moment as well. So please proceed,
yes,
Wes.
This is Wes Tegeler. The name is pronounced Tegeler, and I think you'd like me to mention a bit about my background and the reason for my interest in this, filling this opening.
Yes, please.
Okay, so I've been a CPA in the state of Alaska since 1981. I started with a national firm. I've been in private accounting for a bit of time, and then I started my own firm here in Wasilla in 1992. And I've been a CPA for quite a while. I'll keep this brief. The reason that I am interested in the opening is because I see it as a way that I can, in a small way that I can give back to the profession that has given me so much over these years. I'm in the kind of the end of my career, and I'd like to make some time to contribute a little bit back to from what I've received.
Thank you. I'm going to see if there's any questions from any members at this time. Any questions or comments for Wes? With that, we have your accountancy board application before us, and wanted to say thank you for your patience while we went through that bill hearing. That probably was a little bit long for you to be holding online, but I really wanted to say thank you. We really appreciated you for holding the entire time, Wes. With that, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and move to, first of all, I want to make a quick apology. I see Kelly Larson is holding. Kelly, right when I put the bill aside with the Alaska State Fair, you called in. So I'm going to ask you just if you could call in while we have that testimony open again. That would be really, really appreciative, because the bill sponsor has left the room. So you're welcome to listen online, but you did. Call in right after I had moved to the next agenda item. So with that, we're going to go ahead and take
on the next one. This is Board of Certified Direct Entry Midwives. Kathy Mosier of Willow, would you please proceed and introduce yourself and why you have an interest in this board?
I'm Kathy Mosier. I'd like to be on the board of Midwives as a public member. It is important to have midwives in the community. Midwives give expectant mothers the personal care needed to help make their pregnancy go full term. I am pro-life and would like to serve on the board to ensure proper qualified midwives will get their licenses.
Thank you. I'm going to see if is there any other comments you would like to make at this time? Is there any questions about midwives in the board? It doesn't
I'm
look...
sure I will learn when I get on the board.
Okay. Okay. Can you take a question right now from Senator Costello, please?
Sure.
Oh, actually, thank you, Madam Chair. I just had a comment that I was serving the legislature when the Board of Midwives was created to add them, and I just wanted to say that I'm glad that we have so many qualified Alaskans that come forward and are willing to serve on our boards and commissions.
Excellent. That's very much appreciated. Thank you, Kathy. We appreciate your willingness to serve.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, at this time, we're going to go ahead and hold. We are unable to get hold of Karen Smith. We knew that she was, it was going to be really difficult to get her on the line today, but because that did not work out at 2:15, we're going to go ahead and hold that over for another meeting. So if you all could just keep that paperwork for the next meeting, we'll just forward this to the next agenda item. So with that, I'm going to just make a little comment. We're having a little bit of a tough time, and I wanted to say thank you, Senator Gray Jackson, for bringing forth. We were having a tough time finding which ones were the public vendor, with the different appointees. And my staffer was going to quite lengths of trying to figure this out. Little snafu with administration. So I actually did want to say thank you for pointing that out, because that's something that we're going to try to get a better list of which positions are open from the administration. Okay?
You're welcome, Madam Chair.
Okay. So with that, we are going to go ahead and talk about our meeting, our next meeting. Our next scheduled meeting is going to be taking place at the regular scheduled business time, 1:30, Thursday, February 7th. We intend to take up legislation regarding boards extension. So, of course, the auditor will be here. And we also will take on this one, hopefully Karen Smith at that time as well. Right now, we have concluded our business for today, so we will be gaveling out at 2:20. Thank you. I skipped a very important step. Thank you to my staffer who pointed this out. In accordance with AS 3905080, the Labor and Commerce Committee reviewed the following recommendation appointees to be forwarded to the joint session for consideration: the Alaska Labor Relations Agency, Paula Harrison of Anchorage, the Alaska State Board of Public Accountancy, Wes T-E-G-E-L-E-R from Wasilla, the Board of Certified Direct Midwives, Kathy Mosier of Wasilla. I would appreciate all committee members signing this report. And with that, we will be gaveling out at 2:22. Thank you.